I'm Dan Hughes in the Softball Corner. Last time we went over some of the proposed ASA rules that were turned down in the final voting. This time we'll look at the rest of those rules that didn't get enough votes to pass. Now tell me again why we care about rule proposals that failed? Well, some of them will probably be back on the table next year, so you're getting a good heads up on the future of the ASA, and some of them are just downright funny. Our first rejected rule would have allowed all pitchers to do what senior pitchers are already allowed to do, and that is to stand as far as 6 feet behind the pitcher's plate when they release the ball. The reason for the extended pitching range is safety. The pitcher would have an additional 6 feet of ground between his body and the batter, giving him another fraction of a second to dodge or stop a liner back at him. I did the math here and found that if a ball is coming at the pitcher at 98 miles per hour, he has 0.346 of a second to react. That is, the ball will get from the bat to the pitcher in 346 thousandths of a second. Give the pitcher an extra 6 feet, and the ball takes 392 thousandths of a second to get there. So at the farther pitching distance, the pitcher gains less than 1/20th of a second to protect himself. Is that enough to make a difference? Perhaps. But the other result of moving the pitcher back would be bad for the pitcher, because the farther the pitcher is from the plate, the flatter his pitches will be when he honors the 10-foot height limit. Think of it this way. If you're standing 3 feet in front of the batter and your pitch is 10 feet high, you're pitching almost straight up in the air. But if you were pitching with a 10-foot limit from second base, you'd almost be throwing a line drive. The farther you are from the batter, the flatter a 10-foot high pitch is. And flatter pitches create two problems for a pitcher. One, they're easier to hit, and two, they'll go farther when they're hit. Still, I'm surprised this rule change was defeated. I wouldn't be surprised to see it come back again. The next rule change that was rejected is also legal in senior ball. It would have reinstated the 12-foot height limit. Again, it's a safety factor. The higher the pitch, the harder it is to hit, and the more time the pitcher has to back out of the way. The people who proposed the change back to 12 feet said the limit was dropped from 12 feet to 10 feet to get more players into the ASA, but it didn't work. Numbers are down, not up. Here's one that doesn't make any sense to me. The 6-foot minimum arc would be eliminated, and the ump would have to call pitches that were thrown with, quote, excessive speed, unquote. So you'd never hear a get 'em up command from the umpire, you'd hear a slow it down instead. But flat pitches are fast pitches and high arcs are slow pitches. I think it's easier to judge 6 feet than excessive speed, so I'm glad this one didn't pass. How do you like this one? All male batters in co-ed would have had to use wooden bats. No, I didn't think so. Another rejected change would have kept the ball alive if the batter went back to the dugout after he hit a fair ball or was walked. That is, he wouldn't be automatically out when he entered the dugout. I could see some injured players here with plays being made on runners who were actually inside the dugout. That's just weird. Here's one that might be worth reconsidering. It would keep the infield fly rule in effect, even if the umpire forgot to announce it as the ball was in the air. Another rejected rule change would have allowed batters and fielders to use either the white or the orange base at first after a flyout and the runner on first is returning to first. I don't see why the runner would try to return to the orange part of the base, and I don't see why the first baseman would be standing in foul territory on a flyout, so that change doesn't seem to make much sense. And finally, the last rule rejected at the meeting would have prohibited the umpire from penalizing a team if that penalty would give an advantage to the team being penalized. I'm still trying to figure out when a penalty could be an advantage. What am I missing? Anybody? And that wraps up the rule changes that weren't for this year. For more tips on coaching, managing, and playing adult slow-pitch softball, visit my website, slowpitchbook.com. Thanks for listening. In the Softball Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.